love you, Lord. For of you, Lord. For of you. For of you. Father, we give you the praise and we give you the honor tonight. Blessed be your name because you are God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for a night like this. We worship you. We honor you. In Jesus' precious name, give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Hallelujah. I welcome everyone here tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Everyone who is excited to be here, say amen. We started this subject on Sunday, which I am going to rapidly round off today. It would have been a totally different subject, but it's actually a continuation of Sunday message. It's the art of discipleship, part 3. On Sunday, we began to look at discipleship, and I might not go into all the details tonight because we have actually looked at the details. But by way of objective, we said, number one, we wanted to see, understand the necessity of discipleship. Why is discipleship necessary? We looked at that on Sunday. We also wanted to understand practical actions for effective discipleship. We saw that. And then, understanding the dividends of discipleship is what we want to see tonight. But let's look at the necessity of discipleship. Let's refresh our minds on the necessity of discipleship. And I'm sure the media can help us. It said that new converts are spiritual newborn babies that require extra care and attention. For that purpose, they must be discipled. Secondly, that new converts need to be detached from old habits and lifestyles. One was a smoker, one was a drunkard, one was a drug addict. They need to be detached from them, so they must be discipled. Thirdly, we said that new converts need to be shielded from persecutions and rejections that come with their newfound faith. There are people who will reject them, people who will begin to castigate them, people who will begin to mock them because they have changed their ways, and they need to be helped so that they don't feel that rejection. Fourthly, we say that new converts need to be discipled to avoid them being inoculated or hardened to the gospel, because by the time you give them substandard, suboptimal doses, or you confront them without full impartation and establishment, then they begin to react against the gospel. You want to preach, oh no, I already gave my life to Christ before, and that is too bad. Fifthly, we say that new converts need to be followed up in order for them to be properly rooted in the faith, so that they are not suspended in the air. Number 6, which was the first for the second service, we said that new converts need to be shielded from the temptations that come to make them fall back to the world. When they get their life to Christ, is when they begin to receive the phone call from a former sinful partner that had not remembered them all this while. So they need to be shielded from such temptations. Also, we said that new converts need to be discipled in order to be disconnected from old associations and relationships that destroy their faith. Old friends, old relationships, just like old habits. This is old associations. This is old relationships. Number 8, we said that new converts need to be assisted in areas of challenges that may negatively affect their dedication to God. He's unemployed. He has no house. He has no job. He's living with an unbeliever person that is resisting. They are going to church. Those kind of challenges, we need to assist them with them. And then we said that new converts must be intentionally and lovingly followed up to avoid negative impressions of church and of Christians. Because if we, and they call themselves Christians. I thought they were a loving people. I came and all I saw was bitterness and hatred and nobody even cared. We need to avoid that. And then number 10, that new converts need to be discipled and followed up. To assist them, get properly integrated into the body of Christ. Because most times they hang around and then when they hang around so lonely, they just disappear. Because everybody, all the old timers are just hooked on each other. And nobody is looking forward to any new person joining. You know, I remember what happened to us in a Area 1 church. After the church started and the church began to grow very explosively and rapidly, some old members became angry. Yes. Do you want to know the reasons they gave? You can't believe it. You say, when we were smaller, we were like a family. He said, we all knew each other. Everybody, we were just like a family. We knew each other. This is a negative. I couldn't believe my ears. That is, let us remain with ourselves. Small is beautiful. Is that right? Let's remain with ourselves. Let no new person come. They said we were like family. We knew, everybody knew each other. Now the whole place is so big, so many people. Hola, hola. May we be delivered from such mentality. Anything that is reacting against bigness in your life, may God take it off your life. Anything that is reacting against largeness in your life, may God take it off your life. You believe that? Say it loud, amen. You believe that? Say a louder amen. Now, please take your seat. What were the modalities we talked about? What do we do to follow them up? Number one, we pray fervently for the establishment of the new convert. And so having said that last point, please don't ever let any new convert feel they are not welcome. We are okay with ourselves. Let's not do that. Pray fervently for the establishment of the new convert in the faith that Christ be formed in them. We pray. Number two, these are things we're just reviewing. Liberally display genuine love and care for the welfare of the new convert. We must liberally do that. Number three, embark on follow-up visits as much as possible or feasible. And we say visit is not necessarily physical. It could be phone, such that to avoid any challenges that may come with such follow-up visit, especially those that are not convenient. Number four, ensure you get them filled with the Holy Ghost as soon as possible. You get them filled with the Holy Spirit as soon as possible, for the Holy Spirit is the seal of our redemption. Number six, teach them the vital habits that strengthen the faith of the believer. And what are these habits? First of all, it is the habit of the Word. A, 5A, daily reading and studying of the Word. Daily reading and studying of the Word. B, daily praying and communion with the Lord. They must be taught to study. They must be taught to pray. C is faithful commitment to the fellowship of the brethren, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. D is letting others know of their newfound faith. It's a way to help yourself against temptations also. When people know that you are not hiding your faith, it helps you to stand. And fifthly, saying no to unrighteousness. These were the things we said on Sunday. And then, of course, ensure that you get them planted in the house of the Lord. First, through discipleship and membership training. And second, through establishing them in home church and the central church. So you pass them through the trainings, membership class, discipleship and leadership training. And second, being established in the house fellowship and established in the main church. This will cause these people to be established. Now, we go to the final part, which is what we are dealing with today. What are the dividends of discipleship? The dividends. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of the diligent. Do you understand? To be diligent is to be rewarded. When you do things diligently, you do things meticulously, you do things committedly, you don't lack your reward with God. When you do things haphazardly, when we do things absent-mindedly, we don't expect rewards with God. The Bible said with God, actions are weighed. So with God, it is not only important that you did something, it is important how you did it. It is not only important that you carried out an instruction, it is important to God how that instruction was carried out. That's right. 1 Samuel chapter 20 verse 3. With God, actions are weighed. So it's weighing our actions. Well, they say we should evangelize. I've gone and evangelized. I've invited somebody to church. What else? God is watching. But the one who is diligent, who presses forward, and he says, it's not enough to get this person to church. It's enough to get this person planted and rooted in the Lord. God is watching. The Bible said, I have not said, spoken in secret. Neither have I said to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. See, I have not called anybody to look for me for nothing. Isaiah 45 verse 19. I haven't spoken in secret. I have not said to the seed of Jacob, look for me for nothing. That is, whatever I tell you to do is not for nothing. Somebody told me today, she said, after she saw the impact of Philippines and all the places we go, he said, I now know the meaning of the word, he that loses his life shall find it. That is, you don't care for yourself. Leisure don't move you. You are not looking, when others are just holidaying, you are all about preaching and doing this. And I see the impact and the effect of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, what are the dividends of discipling people for God? Number one is the privilege of partnership with the Almighty in His agenda on the earth. The privilege of partnership. That is, you are a functional partner of God. The privilege of partnership. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse 6. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So, we are all partnering. The person who planted preached the gospel. The person who is watering is establishing that gospel. And then God is giving the increase. So we are partnering with God. What does that mean to you? When you partner with God in His agenda, He partners with you in your agenda. James chapter 4 verse 8. He said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Say that in another way. When you partner with God in His business, He partners with you in your business. I know of businessmen who can confirm this. I know of professionals who can confirm this. Someone was telling me yesterday how business ran down. Nothing was moving as it should. And it was laid in her heart to do two things. One, to plant a seed, but number two, critically, to come to this RRR,
where we are praying for divine intervention in our land and praying for the salvation of the souls and revival globally, to pray. She says she was there for about 4 hours. Each watch is an hour. She remained there until her house sales girl started calling her there. I don't know what's happening, but the sale is just exploding. That is, you came to pray for my agenda in Nigeria and for the souls to be saved. Your business can't be stranded. I put men under pressure. I had my classmates, medical school's class, last Sunday. A couple of them. Others joined us later. Professor of public health, professor of family medicine, consultant cardiothoracic surgeon. They were all there. And we're sitting. One of them, a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist, he said, I know your classmates will call you by name. He said, Paul was busy preaching the gospel on campus everywhere, and he never appeared for receipt once. Of the original class, if we're 120 in year 2, only 29 or about 30 passed and went forward. About 40 or so were withdrawn. About 30 something had receipts and so on. He said he never appeared for receipt. He was telling everybody, he said, you know me, I was a customer. He's a consultant now, specialist. And super specialist in ultrasound now. He said, we were customers. I mean, after every exam, we have to return back and write. We have to return back and write it. He said, but he was not found there once. And this is what he said there in that meeting. That when you face God's own, God will face it for you. That was what this man said in that meeting. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was brain enough to be coming back for receipt all the time and be a super specialist now. See, this one, we didn't find him. He wasn't a customer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, it is the privilege of partnership with God. You are partnering with the Almighty in His agenda on the earth. And you look after His business, He looks after your business. Number 2, it is access to the blessing of obedience. The blessing of obedience. What is the instruction? John chapter 15 and in verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. That is the instruction. Go ahead and bear fruit. And when you obey God, what do you have? Deuteronomy 28 and in verse 1. Access to the blessing of obedience. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe, to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you. There is no obedience without commensurate blessing. None. None. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Access to the blessing of obedience. I know that thing that is called the blessing of obedience. For some of you who don't understand, how is it that now guest invitations, if I'm invited as a guest minister, I am housed, given accommodation, I am transported, that is my airfare going and coming, and when I finish, I am given an honorable honorarium commensurate with the level of my impact and the level to which they sense my range. Am I communicating? Now you don't have time as for guest minister invitation because you are going out on evangelism. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. If I was not going out on evangelism, I will not have enough room for invitations globally. You are not hearing anything, are you? Now that you are not doing that, you are now doing 1 week crusade in this place where you are taking no offering, where you are giving people welfare, where you are giving people medications, where you are not getting honorarium, you are the one giving. You do out throughout the year. How do you survive? You are not on church salary. But because you obeyed, that is why most people can't understand the mystery of people like us. Because you obeyed, God orchestrates flows in your direction that is beyond imagination. How much will you pay for the way we travel? Not from here to Lagos, from here to... You cross two oceans. Indian Ocean, Pacific Ocean. Hallelujah. There is... I am not talking from a hypothetical point of view. It's a practitioner's point of view. You are going so far for my sake. Let me see the devil that can make you cash stranded. You are going so far for my purpose, and you are not going there. Say, how many of you will give 100,000? Stand up here. Whether it's America or Canada or anywhere. You will not miss your own. Please, I like us to begin to face the things that matter. Look at the volume of welfare in the Philippines. You are in another person's land giving somebody accommodation. No, most people here are church members. So they must have watched it on Sunday and watched it at the commanded midnight prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will not miss your blessing. Take your seat. Number three, dividend of obeying God in evangelism is the guarantee of answered prayers. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
and I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will do it. The guarantee of answered prayer. Lord, I am bearing fruit, and by your grace given to me, the fruit they are remaining. I am now asking you for this according to your word. It is not a game, but he is the one who asked us. He is the one who told us that you won't serve me for nothing. And if you do this, I will do that. What dividend? Number four, it is the blessing of preparing souls for heaven, causing them to escape hell for heaven. The blessing of preparing souls for heaven, causing them to escape hell, to access heaven. You know what he said in James chapter 5 and in verse 20? Start from verse 29. Sorry, from verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know. Whether it is somebody who erred just now or somebody who is a sinner that we are bringing to the faith, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death. He has saved his soul from eternal damnation and shall hide a multitude of sins. What blessing is bigger than the blessing of knowing that this person was doomed for hell, but you snatched him from the devil? What blessing is the blessing of preparing souls for heaven? The blessing of causing people to escape hell in order to access heaven. That blessing is a non-quantifiable blessing. Number five, it is the joy of spiritual fruitfulness. There is something that happens to you when you are spiritually fruitful. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 1, he said, therefore, my brethren, Paul was speaking to those he led to Christ and established, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. My joy. There is a joy you are missing if you don't know the joy of saving and establishing souls. There is a joy you are missing. Somebody saw me the other day and he said, what's happening to you, sir? Can you lay hands on me? It looks like you are aging backward. Just looking younger all the time. Yeah. And I'm not in a hurry to age at all, because there is so much work to do. There is so much work to do. Not in a hurry to age. Not in a hurry at all. I tell you that in 20 years' time, some young men will still be running at us to catch up with our steps. We shall be making steps and they shall be trying to see if they can move their leg like that. It's the joy. The joy of seeing lives touched. The joy of seeing people impacted. So, crusade, are you not tired? Say people are not getting saved. Say they are not getting established.
Do you understand? Except they are not getting saved, you will be tired. The joy of the Lord is your strength. To lack joy is to lack strength. So if you are not getting people saved and getting them established, there is a joy missing, there is a strength missing, there is exploit missing. Because the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And strength is the mother of exploits. That joy of fruitfulness. You know, we live in a very depressing world. Do everything you can that triggers your joy to overcome the depressions of this world. Somebody say amen. The joy of spiritual fruitfulness. Number six. It is the joy and blessing of expanding God's kingdom in the earth. When you realize that your tiny effort is bringing expansion to the kingdom, it is a blessing. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 16, the Bible said, from Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That is, every part of us, as we supply our own effort, own energy, our own impact, the house is enlarged. And as we enlarge the house, we can't remain small. We can't. You can't bring increase to the house and remain in decrease. You can't. Finally, it is the guarantee of the crown of rejoicing in eternity. First Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 19. It said, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye, is it not you, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide for you and me, for everyone. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. There is a crown of rejoicing. There is a well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not good and fashionable servant. Not good and eloquent servant. Not good and powerful. Good and faithful. One thing that any one of us would like to hear is well done. Good and faithful servant. Somebody sent me a message from the UK. She said while she was watching the Philippine program, we were there. She said the Lord spoke to her. Said, thank him. Tell him, thank him for going so far for my sake. We all may not be called for that. But what about the nearby office? What about your family members, the neighbors in the neighborhood? Let us make up our mind. You know, the Bible says that we should so function so that no man takes our crown in Revelation. So crowns are takeable. What God planned for you to do that you failed to do, somebody can do it and inherit your crown. And when we get to heaven, we will know. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So the crowns are studded with stars. And stars at times can be the seed of Abraham as stars. How many stars will be on your crown? How many seeds did you establish for Abraham? Today, we are going to proceed now into prayer. This is the last service for the month. It has been the month of dedication to God in soul winning and soul establishment. But the seven things I have said we can place on the screen as the dividends of soul winning is the privilege of partnership with the Almighty in His agenda on the earth. Second, access to the blessing of obedience. Third, the guarantee of answered prayers. Four, the blessing of preparing souls for heaven, causing them to escape hell to access heaven. Five, the joy of spiritual fruitfulness. Six, the joy and blessing of expanding God's kingdom in the earth. And seven is the guarantee of the crown of rejoicing in eternity. I pray tonight that fresh passion will come upon us. Fresh zeal, fresh willingness, fresh grace will come upon us to carry out this assignment of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus. We are going to proceed tonight by praying down upon ourselves what we have been praying about. Praying for souls, praying for ourselves, praying for our lives, and asking for the fire of the Holy Ghost to help us in this agenda in the earth. Stand up on your feet everywhere you are. And lift up your hands and lift up your voice. Lift your hands and your voices first and begin to appreciate God for the word we received tonight. Appreciate the King of Kings. Thank Him. Honor Him, adore Him. Father, thank You. Adonai, thank You. Elion, thank You. Are you doing that right now? Lift your voice and thank Him. Honor Him, adore Him. In the name of Jesus.